Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Swingin' Blues Radio Show on CKMS 100.3 Sound FM. Today is December the 1st, Thursday, December 1st, and I believe it is episode 20 of the Swingin' Blues Radio Show. My name is Turlock Myers, and I'm your host here until midnight, and with me is a very special guest, Krister Schalm. Say hello, Krister.
Hi, everyone. Glad to be here.
Thank you very much for coming on the show, and we're going to be hearing a lot about Krister's adventures as a swing dancer and just adventures in general. So, we just heard King Porter Stomp from the Solomon Douglas Swing Tet. And now we're going to put on a little bit more music for you. And over the next half hour, we're going to listen to some great music. And we're going to have some interviews, some announcements, and everything. It's going to be a wonderful, fantastic show. And I hope you will enjoy it. So, here is Fats Waller with Scram.
Your leather, step as lightly as a feather, let yourself go. Come, hit the timber, loosen up and start to limber. Can't you hear that hot marimba? Let yourself go. Let yourself go, relax and let yourself go. Relax, you've got yourself tied up in the night. The night is cold, but the music's hot, so come, cuddle closer. Don't you dare to answer no, sir. But your banker, clerk, and grocer, let yourself go. together. Let the dance floor feel your leather. Step as lightly as a feather lurches off guard. Come hit the timber, loosen up and start to limber. Can't you hear that hot marimba? Let yourself go. Let yourself go, relax and let yourself go. Relax, you've got yourself tied up in the knot. The night is cold but the music's hot, so come paddle closer. Don't you dare to answer no sir, but your banker, clerk and grocer. Let yourself go.
And welcome back to CKMS 100.3 Sound FM, the Swingin' Blues Radio Show. That was Alex Pangman with Let Yourself Go. It's a good tune.
I think it's an awesome tune.
Yeah.
Alex is such a fantastic artist, a real Canadian inspiration. I remember being in Toronto, she'd come out and play a lot at the various events, and we were always just really spoiled to have her out. It's a lot of fun when she's playing. I remember a few years back, she was playing a live event at right actually before her surgeries. She went in with her double lung transplant. She came out and performed for New Year's Eve at one of our big dances at the Developer House in Toronto. And yeah, it's still one of my favorite New Year's memories of all time. She led the countdown with the band. And, you know,
yeah.
Fantastic.
New Year's Eve is, I've heard, a really cool event at Dovercourt.
It's especially cool because my wife, it's also her birthday.
Oh, awesome.
So she's usually, it sucked for her when she was younger because she'd always go out and people would say, oh, yeah, your birthday, yeah, sorry, we're not going to have a party on that night because, you know, you're going to go and do something else. So she never really got to celebrate her birthday growing up. And now she gets to celebrate her birthday in the most awesome way for a swing dancer. We go out and we have this huge dance. Everybody comes out. So she gets to do the thing that she loves. And what always happens is when in the dance community, whenever it's your birthday, you get honored with a jam. So you go in the center and everybody dances with you for a song and you get to stand out. So she gets one of the best jams of the year because it's always one of the best bands.
Yeah.
And it's tons of people there, usually four times as many people as normal, and they all come out and dance with her. So
that's awesome.
She loves that now. So now it's the best thing ever. But when she's a kid, it sucked.
I guess that pays off. It's one of the perks of being an adult.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. That's I'm definitely going to find myself up there this year. You lived in Toronto recently
for about 7 years, actually.
7 years. Awesome. Yeah, and every time I come to Toronto, or like the last few times I've come to Toronto, people have come to me and said, "Waterloo, you guys stole Krister from us. What's the deal?" So you obviously had quite an effect on them.
It's a great community, and I mean, when I was there in Toronto, I was doing my PhD in physics, and my hobby, what kept me sane, was dancing. Mm-hmm. Lindy Hop's really what allowed me to stay in school, and it was a good outlet for the kind of research we were doing. So the dance community, it really embraced me, and I embraced it, and I was there for 7 years, so I was able to really start to do some things and make some contributions, and yeah, it was just a fantastic experience.
Awesome. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Toronto community and the effect that Krister has had on the Toronto community a little later in the show. And now we're going to go just back to the music for a moment. I have some Ella Fitzgerald queued up. Here is Lindy Hopper's Delight. And this is, again, going along with Lindy hopping as a hobby, like Krister says. And this is the delight of it, is listening to the music. So here is Ella Fitzgerald on CKMS 100.3 Sound FM.
Thank you.
That was Ultra Fox by Django Reinhardt on CKMS 100.3 Sound FM. What'd you think?
I love the guitar. It's so unique the way Django plays. Like, he's just got this such a different sound to the other type of musician. It's for me, dancing to it. You don't often come across a band or music that has that kind of feel to it, and when you do, it really changes the way you dance, the way your body responds to the music, and I love it. It's like it's so much fun.
I think the closest thing we have to it in KW is probably Sandy McDonald. He does it pretty good.
Yeah, I think. I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And we're kind of spoiled by it because
it
comes out. Yeah. Actually, it's kind of funny. A couple of weeks ago, we had right here in KW, we had Gordon Webster, who's probably one of my favorite living swing musicians, just for Lindy Hop. Just so good, so in tune with what dancers want, and because he used to be from Toronto, now he's in New York, but when he's here, he came out to dances all the time. But of course, traveling across the border, he sometimes runs into problems where his musicians sometimes are turned back at the border, they can't get through, and there's some issues.
Yeah.
And a couple of years ago, I was actually in a dance event in Montreal, and he was supposed to show up. And the night, like the day he was supposed to arrive, he got turned back at the border, so they had to cancel. And all these people had come
to hear
Gordon Webster and his band, and were really disappointed. And the fill-in band, I don't remember their name, but they're from Montreal, like a little local Montreal band. But they were essentially Django Reinhardt clones. And it was one of the most fun dance nights I ever had. In fact, there were so many people there, you just kept getting kicked in the shins.
Yeah.
But besides that, it was just, the music was amazing, and it was so much fun to dance.
Well, I guess they had that, the build-up excitement of leading up to a Gordon Webster night that everybody had in their heads. And, you know, Lindy Hoppers aren't the kind of people who really get disappointed very easily. And they're very good at making the best of a situation as well.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
And I have to say, like, the hats off, it was Studio 88 that in Montreal that was putting on this event, and it was just absolutely fantastic, the band they came up with, and they really handled the whole thing with grace. And, you know, there's a lot of other people who are grumbling, because Gordon, you don't get to hear him very often, it's a treat, and people travel for quite a while from all over the place just to hear him and to dance to him. But after that night, like, nobody was complaining. Like, the band was so good.
And that's great that it's local bands too that comes out like that.
Right.
When we hired Sandy McDonald for the first time to play in at Maxwell's, I remember sort of listening into David Trin's conversation with Sandy, and he said to him that you can basically play anything you want as long as it swings, which explains why he comes out sometimes and plays the old he plays Wonderwall or something like that, and makes it swing, and everybody dances to it and loves it. So it's that guitar, gypsy jazz kind of sound really is something. Gordon Webster, just going back to him, he has a guitarist in his band, Cassidy Holden, who I spoke to when he was here, and he's actually originally a bass player, and he started playing upright bass, and then he picked up the guitar as a hobby, and Gordon hired him as a guitarist after he had already established himself with a bass player. Like you said, Cassidy said that playing upright bass, he runs into these problems where not only will he get turned around at the border coming up to Canada, but sometimes his bass will not be allowed in. So they've had...
Those are gigantic instruments. Huge.
So there are problems. Like, there's a lot of problems with getting musicians in. So anytime that musicians are coming in from south of the border, then absolutely they have to be appreciated, because they take a lot of guff.
Right. And it's hard to even transport all their instruments across. I mean, a bass, it takes up half a car right there just to get it.
Yeah, it
just
does.
To pile it in.
It does, yeah. That's half a car that could be some other band members, for all we know. All right, so it is 10:30. And we're going to have a little word from our radio sponsorships. We have two sponsors: the Hepcat Hoppers, providing Waterloo Region with weekly live jazz dance parties, group swing dance classes, and swing era performances. Enjoy live jazz every Monday night starting at 8 o'clock p.m. at the Button Factory Arts Center, 25 Regina Street South in Waterloo. For more information, go to hepcathoppers.ca. Cutting Edge DJ Services are also one of our sponsors, and for more information about them, go to cuttingedgedj.ca. Shady Nook Farms, raising all natural cattle with care. And Shady Nook Farms is the cattle company that is owned by Jeff Stagger, our very own Jeff Stagger, who is one of the fantastic programmers that we have here at CKMS. And anyways, Shady Nook Farms, raising all natural cattle with care, your local food source for beef. We have half sides, whole sides, hamburger, summer sausage, and freezer packs, locally raised and prepared. Visit their website at shadynook.ca. That is www.shadynook.ca. Those are our sponsors, and we'll go back to the music now for a little bit. Here is some Nina Simone with My Baby Just Cares For Me on CKMS 100.3 Sound FM.
My baby don't care for shows. My baby don't care for clothes. My baby just cares for me. My baby don't care for cars and races. My baby don't care for high-toned places. Liz Taylor is not his style, and even Lana Turner's smile is something he can't see. My baby don't care, who knows it? My baby just cares for me.
Thank you.
And welcome back to CKMS 100.3 Sound FM and the Swing and Blues Radio Show. Once again, I am your host, Turlock Myers, and I'm here with a very special guest, Krister Schalm. Thank you for being on the show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. And I have an interview prepared.
Excellent.
You'd never know it since we've already been talking a whole lot. But you've been dancing for a long time.
That's correct. About 6 years now.
That's awesome. Awesome. You've also spent some time teaching and performing as well, I understand.
That's so,
yeah. And did you live in Toronto over the course of the whole time that you were swing dancing?
I actually started swing dancing there.
So
I was a graduate student at the University of Toronto in physics. And what happened was I'd been a graduate student for about a year or two. And really decided I need to get out and do something else. You know, sitting inside a lab all day twiddling the knobs of lasers is fun, but sometimes there's more to life than that.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine, she wanted to take a dance class, mainly because she was getting married soon and she wanted to be able to dance at her wedding, but her fiance, who was a good friend of mine, was in the States. So I was the surrogate stand-in for the dance lessons. And we went out and we did these dance classes. They were kind of these East Coast swing, you know, you put on some bopping music and you just kind of dance around. And so it was fun, and we decided one night that we were going to go out to the, you know, show off our moves, right? Spread our stuff.
Yeah.
And went down to a local jazz club called the Reservoir Lounge. It's a Toronto institution. If you're ever in the Toronto area, I highly recommend it. Live music every night of the week except for Sundays. They may have changed that now. But fantastic bands. Alex Payman used to play there a lot. A number of other people who have gigs there quite regularly. So I show up, and, you know, we were pretty cool. We got out, and we were doing our thing, and, you know, twisting and basically flailing ourselves at the music. And this couple came out, and they started doing the Lindy Hop.
Yeah.
And it was the most incredible thing I'd ever seen. I was just like, what are these people doing? And so after the song ended, I ran up to them.
Yeah.
And I said, what was that? Like, what are you guys doing? And I just pestered them the entire night for as much information as I could get. I wanted to know where I could learn to dance, what was happening, all these different things. So they gave me as much information. They were very generous. I was so excited. I went home and I stayed up the entire night. I didn't sleep, researching Lindy Hop. Now, this was before YouTube was around, so basically back in the dark ages. YouTube came around about a year and a half later. And so I went around and I searched and I found that there was this huge dance camp that happened in Sweden.
Yep.
And there was all these professional troops. And I decided that I came to three conclusions the next morning. The first was that I was going to quit physics, and I was going to move to Sweden, and I was going to become a professional dancer.
That moves very quickly.
Yeah. Got some sleep, and I decided maybe that wasn't the best idea, that maybe this physics thing, there was actually something to it.
Yep.
So I stayed with it. But I spent most of the next year, a couple of years, actually just dancing as much as I could.
Yeah. It's great to hear, you know, just the way people fall in love with Lindy Hop. Because, you know, people come up to people in the Lindy Hop scene all the time, and they sort of say, well, don't you have any friends outside of Lindy Hop? And, you know, and some of us do, and some of us don't. But, you know,
it's funny, most of my friends changed after I started Lindy Hop. It was almost like joining a cult, but a really good cult.
Yeah.
One I recommend. Like, you know, all my friends are like, hey, you know, you want to come over tonight? And it's like, well, I could come over, or I could go dancing. And so, yeah, I stopped hanging out with them and just started hanging out with dances all the time. And
yeah,
so it's so much fun.
Yeah, it is, yeah. I mean, I've only just discovered it in the last 2 years, and I totally feel the same way, although I do have the luxury of YouTube. But,
It makes things much easier.
Indeed. Well, are you still in touch with these people that you met at the Res?
Yeah, actually I am. So one of the guys, he moved to Calgary. He was in Toronto. He was actually in Calgary for a while, then he moved back to Toronto, and so we became friends while he was there. Now he's off in Calgary again, and he's dancing away.
Well, I hope the Lindy Hoppers are listening, because you know, a great dancer like yourself starts by watching someone and finding out what it is that they do. So, any Lindy Hoppers out there who are listening right now, you know, when you go to a place and you start Lindy Hopping and people appreciate it, just keep in mind that you could be starting something so great.
And it's really funny, like when you talk about it, there are people there's basically two kinds of people who come out dancing. There's some people who are there just to try and experiment, and everybody goes out to do that. But there's always a small percentage of the people. There's always some fraction of the people who attend your classes, who attend a dance, that are hooked. The first time they see this dance, they know their life is over, things are going to change, and they get hooked into it. And it's just those type of people you identify. You're one of them. I'm one of them. And it just changes everything. And
it does, yeah.
And when you see those people, you can get so excited because you're like, I know what your life's going to be like for the next 3 years. And you talk to them, and they're like, how can you not be dancing every night? And I'm like, wow, 6 years later, like, you know, there is other things in my life that are going on. It's like, yeah. You dance all the time. But at the beginning, I was like, I can't see how you would not just be doing this every moment of every day.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. After you met up with them, you went and took some lessons after that?
So I took as many lessons as I could.
Yeah.
And the lessons are fun. Lessons are a really good way to improve what you're doing. But the best way when you're starting to get good fast and is to just go out and do it. Practice and trial and error. There's only so much that, you know, a theory in class can do.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. I mean, every dance I could find, and I was lucky at the time, there's about 6 nights a week I could dance or go to classes. And I was out every one of those and just showed up. And, I mean, I was awful. So bad. I had never danced in my life. I had two left feet. I was just flailing all around. I had no sense of rhythm or timing. I couldn't find the 8. I couldn't find the 1. You know, I'm one of these people, like, back then who would clap on the 1s at the music. And
yeah.
It was just so bad. But I loved it so much, so I kept with it. And I was very much, what I lacked in skill, I made up for in enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I figured, well, if I can't be the best dancer up there, I'm going to be the most fun. And that was my model. That got me through quite a ways. And then over time, I worked at it, and the skills developed, and then everything else kind of came together.
Well, I've come up with this statement that I usually use in introductory lessons now, and tell me if you agree with it, but I think that in swing dancing, there are three most important things. The first most important thing is to have fun. The second most important thing is to feel the music, and the third most important thing is to relax. Do you agree with this?
I definitely agree with those three things. And, you know, I would have a hard time ordering which one is most important.
Yeah.
Because they're all pretty critical.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole dance itself is about having fun. If you look at where the music comes from, a lot of it really came out, like the stuff that we really Lindy Hopped to, that came out during the Depression.
Yeah.
It came out in a time when, you know, as bad as our economic crisis is now, people aren't living in tenement housing, getting ripped off by sharecroppers and things like that, and struggling to find a dime or even a penny to buy their next meal.
Mm-hmm.
Times were really rough back then. And so what happens to the music, whenever you have a period where people are, where if there's a depression or things are tough, the music that people listen to and identify with is very happy, joyous, the opposite of what their life circumstances are.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly enough, when things get really well, that's when you get, you know, Nirvana and Alanis Morissette and other people come out and it's grunge and it's, you know, or emo coming out like, oh, life's awful. That's a sign that your actual economy is doing pretty well and things are going good. So it's this idea that the music is so positive, it's so full of optimism, and you know that things are going to get better. This is life. It's just joy. It's pure joy when I'm out dancing. And I think tapping into that is the most critical thing. If you can get out, if you can get people, who cares if you know you're not getting the right step at the right time? If you can convey that sense of joy, the heart of that aspect of the dance, that's what I think is the most important thing. And so I think you've nailed it on the head. Like, all three of those things connect to it.
I'm going to remember that, though, what you just told me. I'm going to remember that for sure. And then, so now, this is something I think that you probably spoke to with students of yours before as well. So tell me about your students and any sort of the people that you've taught in the past.
So there's it's interesting with teaching. You always have to kind of know who your audience is.
Yeah.
And there's a wide range of lessons you can teach. Some of the really fun lessons to teach are the big ones. So, I mean, the biggest class I've ever taught had close to 1,000 people in it. And it was at Dundas Square for, there's an arts festival in Toronto that happens every year called Luminato.
Mm-hmm.
And the first year we got in, I was teaching with my dance partner, Mandy Gould, with Bees Knees Dance in Toronto. And we got invited to perform a lesson. And so it was in the middle of Dundas Square, 1,000 people out there. Count Basie's orchestra was playing right afterwards.
Wow.
And so there was just this huge crush. Dundas Square was filled to the brim. People were actually across the road at the Eaton Center on the sidewalk following the lesson. So it was fantastic. And those type of lessons, I mean, your idea is you're just giving people kind of a sampler of the dance. Like, here's an introduction, it's your elevator pitch. And so it's not about the moves, it's not about technique, it's about conveying the heart of the dance, which in this case is just fun, happiness, and you can't take yourself too serious, you got to be a bit silly and crazy.
Yeah.
And so you connect in and you give people that taste, and then hopefully they're going to come back for more.
Yeah.
There's the other end of the spectrum, so those are the fun lessons. When you do the big group lessons, for me it's just giving people a taste of what the dance is like, get the energy up, and say, this is what it's about. Here's some tools, go have fun for the rest of the night. Then there's progressive classes you take, and it depends on if you're introduction or intermediate, you know, how much skill you're trying to develop people with. And I never start with going into too much technique, because to be honest, after about four lessons, people, if you teach them and focus, like if you focus on more on having fun and the spirit of the dance and going through the movement and when people connect to their body, they'll get to about the same place as if you had maybe done a lot of technique, but most people have more fun doing it that way. So
yeah, very true.
So that's one of the things I like to do. Then there's a group of people I, for a long time, taught who were really dedicated dancers, and had a little thing that's called Cat's Meow, and we got together, and for those people, you know, we trained hard. We got together every morning, and for about an hour and a half. And it started out with a hardcore workout and made them sweat.
Yeah.
Some pain involved.
Yeah.
And we would work relentlessly on an aspect of our dance and really try to focus on our technique, get into the movement, and that's where you really drill down with people who are dedicated and get to that, the good stuff.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. There's a lot of Toronto Lindy Hoppers who attribute their dance ability to exactly what you're talking about. So it's amazing that you've had the opportunity to teach in Dundas Square, and you've had, you know, these group of people who look up to you so much, and you know, you live right here in Waterloo, so along with all of this, have you traveled for dance events elsewhere in the world, like outside of Canada or United States even?
Yeah, so the most recent thing I went to was the Ultimate Lindy Hop Showdown.
Oh, yes.
New Orleans.
Yes, Anne told us all about that on the radio show. Yeah.
Fantastic event. So many good dancers there, such good energy. And the most amazing thing was the music.
Yeah.
I mean, we were treated to really good music at the events, but not even just that. It was the French Quarter in New Orleans, the birthplace of a lot of this jazz, walking down the road and seeing Louis Armstrong's house.
Yeah.
It's incredible, and it's still there. And and every corner has a band. And the bands are just mind-blowingly good.
Yeah.
And they're just there on the street, busking for a few dollars. And it just spoiled with it. Everywhere you look, you know, there's just such great music. So I love that. That was exciting.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And just quickly, and then we'll get back to some music. Who were some of your instructors and mentors?
So I started taking classes with a local Toronto dancer, Arthur Liu. That's who I took my first set of classes with. And so Arthur was great.
He's still teaching, too.
And he's still teaching. He's still going strong.
Yeah.
And then something interesting happened. A really good friend of mine, she became a good friend of mine. There was a dancer in Toronto called Mandy Cool. She had just come back from Sweden, where she'd been training with a group called the Harlem Hotshots.
Yes.
And been working with them a little bit. And she came back to Toronto and started teaching again. And I remember meeting her at a workshop. And, I mean, I was so bad at the time, but I had the kind of spirit for the dance. I had the enthusiasm and just the right attitude. And so she said, you know, I'd like to start training you. And I was like, yes. I'll take whatever you have to offer. And so she really became my mentor. And you know, most of my philosophy for teaching, for dancing, for everything, my approach to it, it's all really due to her, Mandy Gould.
Yeah.
So I owe her a huge debt of gratitude for almost everything.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, we'll go back to the music now for another couple of minutes. But just to reiterate to the point again, you know, swing dancing is just so insane and crazy, and you know, and every time my mom watches a video of me swing dancing, she calls me a ham. And
that's what Andy Hop is all about. The more ham, the better.
Being a ham.
Some bacon.
So you hear that, Waterloo? Be hams.
Vegan hams if you're vegetarian.
So I've just passed over the cord to Krister, and he's going to take us away with some music. What do you got for us?
So we're going to start off tonight with one of my favorite artists, Count Basie. And this is a song from the album Swing Station. It's called Sent For You Yesterday.
Sent For You Yesterday on CKMS 100.3 Sound FM.
Do you think of romance? Oh no.
shiny stockings. Then come some chick along with great big stockings too. You smiled and you left me lonely. Why, I never knew. I guess I'll have to find a new kind, a new guy who digs my shiny stockings too. Count Basie, you do, you be do me, you do,
Ella Fitzgerald, that last song, and one of my favorite songs of all time, Shiny Stockings, and I love this version of it. Usually she would sing it with Count Basie, but this was actually one she did in France in 64, a recording of it, and it was with some of Basie's band members, but not Basie himself, and it's one of my favorite versions of it. She just has so much character in it.
Yeah, Ella's amazing. I understand Shiny Stockings is also Frankie Manning's favorite song.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He loved it. They would always play it. Even when he was in his 90s, he'd get up and they'd play that song and he'd get up and dance. And he'd dance sometimes with over 100 women in one song. So the song would band would keep it going. So that's what Lindy Hop will do. It'll keep you young.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And when I was at Swing Out New Hampshire, we were lucky enough to hear from Mabel Lee, who was also 90 years old. She was fantastic, just so full of life. I would love to have something like that happen more often, but unfortunately I think events are the only place that really have space for it.
Right.
But
and you just missed Frankie Manning too, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Like a year I missed Frankie Manning.
Yeah, that's too sad. Yeah, he's one of the most inspirational people. I met a lot of people in my life, and he's right up there at the top with people I admire and respect.
Yeah. I'm going to play some radio ads now, and then we'll come right back to the music. So here are a couple of ads from CKMS 100.3 Sound FM. Thanks for listening.